Just when you think you've seen it all, something like this crosses your desk. I can't believe this story. I mean, I'm just frankly really disgusted by it. And it shows that we as a country, we've totally lost our way. We now have an elementary school out in Wisconsin. Soon a few kids who dared to call somebody by the wrong pronoun. The person had just switched. And these kids, three of them, eighth graders, didn't use the right pronoun. So now that's sexual harassment. We're going to get all into it today. And I'll tell you this, Americans are over it. A new poll out today shows how disgusted Americans are with this. 87% of the country wants nothing to do with a company that's trying to advance political issues that they don't agree with. Meanwhile, you got Jeff Bezos and the president of the United States still in this like Twitter war. How becoming, huh? The president of the United States, I guess he's trying to channel Trump any way he can. And Bezos seems like a worthwhile enemy, I guess. Except the problem here is, and I don't often agree with Bezos, but on this one, he's totally right. We're going to talk about that. Plus, I've got some breaking news coming to us out of Venezuela. It seems that the Biden administration really is easing those sanctions. We're going to talk all about it. Welcome, everyone, to the Trish Regan Show. Good to have you here. Portions of today's program are brought to you by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in gold than right now. So I want you to go to legacypminvestments.com to check it out. They've got a free guide you can download right there. LegacyPMInvestments.com. Give them a ring. You're welcome to use my name. Really good friends of mine, and I promise you they will take good care of you. Anyway, let's get to this school headline, which I want to point out was brought to my attention by one of my supporters and followers over on the local social media platform, TrishRegan.locals.com. So a big shout out and a thank you to Leslie for flagging this story for all of us in the group there at Locals. And I just had to do it today because this really strikes me as kind of a pinnacle of insanity, right? This is when you know you've reached the point of no return. I'm laughing, but I shouldn't laugh because this is really disturbing. A Wisconsin school district, according to the New York Post, has filed sexual harassment complaints against three middle schoolers for calling a classmate by a wrong pronoun. The school district, it's in Keele, 3,600 residents there. It's charging three eighth graders. Imagine that. At the middle school was sexual harassment after an incident in April in which the students refused to use they to refer to a classmate who had switched pronouns just a month before this alleged incident. I mean, come on, guys. Come on. I mean, you know that we have a problem as a nation when instead of focusing on things like baby formula and making sure the supply chain is there so that our infants aren't starving, when we're focused on things like using the right pronoun and it's sexual harassment if you don't, because somebody just recently decided to switch pronouns. I mean, come on. We this has been taken way too far, and I think parents are right to be upset. Listen, this is what happened in Virginia. Right? People just got sick and tired of the government meddling in their children's lives from a cultural perspective, trying to force feed a bunch of stuff that parents maybe themselves didn't buy into or agree with. And this is another example of this. And so parents are like, what? I mean, the mother that's quoted here, she's sort of horrified because sexual harassment, I mean, that's a huge charge for an eighth grade kid. Come on. So thank you again to Leslie for finding that story. I'll tell you this, Americans are so over it. There was a poll that just came out conducted with Trafalgar and the Convention of States Action, in which they found that the overwhelming majority of Americans from all political backgrounds say that they're likely to boycott companies they disagree with, which is an indicator that regardless of what side a company chooses to take, it's kind of a losing battle for companies. I mean, why get into this in the first place? Disney, right? At least Netflix is figuring that out. I told you yesterday about how Netflix, which by the way is a stock to watch because it's gotten beaten down so much, but Netflix is coming to the realization that, hey, we got to serve our customers. And if our employees don't like it, too bad. And so it's important to offer diversity of product. It's important to stay out of politics. right? Twitter should have learned that a long time ago. Twitter's another story that we actually should talk about, because Elon Musk is really exercising his influence, whatever he has thus far, because he hasn't bought the company, but he's certainly scaring investors. We should talk about that. But before we do, I just want to mention a quick shout out for my friends over at AMAC. AMAC is a wonderful organization that, you know what, is working really hard to protect your values, my values, conservative values, probably the values of those parents out in Wisconsin that are just horrified that things are coming to this. They want to protect you. They want to protect the America that we love, which means standing up for things like freedom and faith and family. And I love this organization because they're out there actively working to protect you and me, both in Washington and throughout the nation. And we're able to join forces here with this massive group, more than 2 million members, and it only costs $16 a month. So for $16 a month, you get, forgive me, what am I saying? $16 a year. It's a really good deal because you get all kinds of great, great benefits. You get benefits on travel. You get benefits on cell phone plans. You get benefit on restaurants and hotels, all that good stuff. So you make the money back in no time, just $16 per year. And you can join forces with all these people that care about the things that I know you care about. So look at it. Go to amac.us/Regan. If you're watching this on video, you can see I have the URL on the screen. If you're not, make sure you do go to and subscribe to my channels on Rumble and on YouTube. Again, it's amac.us/Regan. You can join or renew today. It's such a good thing to do. You want to be a member here because it's time to protect our faith, our family, our freedom. Join AMAC today at amac.us/Regan. Okay. I want to get to the Bezos story quickly, and then we can talk briefly about Twitter. But Bezos is still engaging in this fight with the President of the United States, and the President of the United States is still engaging with him. You get the whole White House working overtime to see what they can tweet back at Jeff Bezos. Give me a break. I guess they're trying to channel Donald Trump however they can, right? They're thinking this might get them a little attention. They love it, of course, because Jeff Bezos is like the perfect enemy for them. If they can attack him, then they think that'll go over well with their constituents. Hey, it didn't hurt AOC. I mean, it hurt her constituents who lost out on all kinds of great paying jobs that Amazon wanted and was willing to build in her district, but it got her more attention. And the White House is doing the exact same thing. And it's so irritating because it's very clear he doesn't care about inflation. I mean, if he did, he'd actually enact policies that would reduce inflation instead of trying to deflect, as Jeff Bezos said, at the squirrel over there. Bezos had a good tweet, and I don't always agree with Bezos. In fact, mostly I don't. So this is a rare moment, but he had a great tweet where he said, oh, look, a squirrel, when he included the White House's response to his thoughts on inflation. Basically, the White House is trying to conflate inflation with corporations not paying their fair share. That's their favorite expression, right? They love that from Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. And Jeff Bezos is saying, wait a second, like those two things have nothing to do with each other. We can talk about them individually, but don't blame inflation on corporate taxes. And he's absolutely right. Inflation, by the way, is all a result, frankly, of really stupid policy from Washington, D.C., both by way of the Federal Reserve and by way of this administration. Another thing, by the way, Bezos pointed out that the administration wanted to just keep printing more money. And it was Joe Manchin who actually saved them from themselves. And so this keeps going on and on and on. And like I said, the White House is now working overtime for this. It was really disastrous if you caught any of the new press secretary's press conference on Monday. Peter Doocy over at Fox was asking her about this little Twitter spat, and asking her to explain, if she could, how inflation was the result of corporate taxes not being high enough. And she absolutely couldn't. It was, you know, it was not funny. It was actually really sad to see. She clearly had no idea what inflation really is, had no idea what corporate tax policy really is. It was just, oh, everybody has to pay their fair share. She seemed quite inept, frankly, and not knowledgeable on subjects that certainly the press secretary should be more knowledgeable on. In fact, it had me thinking that maybe they need like an Econ 101 class when everybody gets to the White House, and maybe they could give it to Joe Biden too, right? That would be good. I want to get to Twitter in just a second. We need to talk about that. But first, it's very challenging. I get it, to invest in markets right now. We've been watching a market that's all over the place. Tuesday moving higher. One of the levels I told you to watch out for recently was that VIX, which is a measurement of fear, which was at 34 most recently. It was actually a day that I and my personal accounts went back into the market because I like it, right? When it's at 34, that's an indicator to me that people are fearful enough that you might be nearing a bottom. Not that you can pick a bottom, right? Like it's really, really hard in markets to pick a bottom. So one of the things that you ought to be looking at is diversifying into other asset classes. We had a guy on the show the other day, a good friend of mine named Charlie Dombeck, who specializes in other asset classes. So while you may put some portion of your portfolio and your savings in stocks, hey, did you know that you can invest in other things, right? Other than that, for example, real estate or gosh, you know, even used cars, Ferraris, who knew, right? He explained an asset-backed portfolio to me that grew 167% or returned 167% in the last year. So it's a big, big world out there. And I encourage everybody to really take a look at it. Charlie is great. And you can reach him if you go to keycitycapital.com/Trish. Again, keycitycapital.com/Trish. He's got a lot of really good ideas on how to grow your portfolio. He's actually a CPA and a tax planner. So he can kind of help you figure out some spots where you might be able to better maximize your investments. But again, these are investment opportunities that haven't always been traditionally available to regular folks. I think that a lot of them are more in sort of the special class, right, for family offices, et cetera. And he's working hard to try and bring this to everyday investors, more middle market stuff, still accredited investors. You got to be accredited to be part of this, but you may be. So I encourage you to give him a call. You can reach him at keycitycapital.com/Trish. Go back and listen to his interview too from last week. I think that's worth doing. I want to get to Venezuela just momentarily, but before we do, a quick update on Twitter. We're watching the shares kind of sink here because Elon can't stop talking and tweeting about how maybe this deal won't go through. I just briefly wanted to point something out. He agreed to the Twitter deal with no due diligence, right? He waived the due diligence that you would normally do in a deal like this to get the merger agreed to because he just wanted to do the deal. And now it's problematic because it may be that Twitter has more fake accounts than anybody thought. And if that's the case, then maybe it's not worth $54.20 a share. And so he's struggling with this right now. He said the deal's on hold. He can't really get out, not without paying a $1 billion breakup fee. I mean, I guess he's got a lot of money. What does it matter? But still, it's a lot of money. I don't think anybody would really want to go into this and then have to get out and fork over $1 billion. But what he may be doing here, and there may be some merit to this, I don't know. I feel bad for the bankers, frankly, on both sides, but he may be trying to renegotiate the price a bit because $54.20 a share, if those users are not all real, would be problematic. And then if nothing else, he's causing quite a you-know-what storm in the meantime. Another storm of sorts, Venezuela. It looks like those sanctions now are beginning to ease. We got official word today. I, of course, reported this weeks ago, actually probably months ago now, that Chevron would be soon working with Venezuela and PDVSA on some of its licenses, and it would be authorized by the Biden administration to do that. So I reported that quite some time ago. It is now officially official. And the expectation here is that Biden will increasingly release Venezuela from some of these sanctions. Now, I know a lot of people don't like that. I know a lot of people worry about Venezuela. I know there are a lot of concerns, although you got to put some things in perspective in light of what we're seeing overseas, right? Where you see some really, really bad actors. And I've said all along, if there was a way to actually have a footprint there so that we could help Venezuela to ensure democracy and freedom and have a relationship with them, that would be good for us and good for them, would it not? And right now we're looking at oil that's $115 a barrel. And I've predicted $130 by summer. We get into that busy summer driving season and oil's not going down. It's going up. It's going up. In fact, the SPR today, the news was reported, is at its lowest level since 1987. And this is despite Joe giving all the additional oil to the SPR, Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which, by the way, you're never supposed to use except in, you know, times of real, real disaster. So Venezuela is sitting on the world's largest oil reserves, and I'd sure as heck rather we be down there than China or Russia, right? That just kind of seems to make sense for America in light of putting ourselves first and foremost. But Biden doesn't have the strength to really go all the way here. He's too afraid of Menendez and what Menendez is going to say. And he's got other Democrats in Florida that, you know, do not want this happening. And so he's going to have to reconcile those higher oil prices with the reality of good old fashioned politics, which he ought to be able to do just fine, right? The guy is completely, totally, utterly a political animal. And I do not say that in a positive way at all. In fact, there are other words for that. Anyway, I just want to remind you here at the end of the program to subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, to subscribe to the podcast on Apple, iTunes, or on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, if you have not already. Visit me at trishintel.com. That's my own website where we have lots of news and information for you. You can help support the show by shopping at our Freedom Store, the trishregan.store, or you can go to Locals at trishregan.locals.com, where we're sharing stories, as I explained at the beginning of the show, every single day. And I love reading your posts there on Locals. So join me there, and I will see you right back here tomorrow.